Well, good morning. I'd ask that you please take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We're not going to stay there this morning, but that's definitely where we're going to start. Matthew chapter 7 with some very foundational, familiar words to us. Matthew chapter 7. And while you're turning there, I'd just like to say thank you so much for being here. Such a pleasure, such an honor to be able to study the Word of God together. What a great God we serve, that we can live each day with hope. We don't wake up every day wondering what our purpose is, wondering what our hope is, or feeling that we're lost, but we know that we have a hope of heaven. What a great God we serve who gave us Jesus, who enabled that to happen. And let us study His Word carefully, because these are the words that lead to eternal life through Jesus. In Matthew 7, one of the most fundamental teachings that Jesus ever gave is found there in verse 13. Matthew 7 and verse 13, but Jesus says this: "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it." What a well-known teaching, and what a teaching that we often don't consider the importance of in our own lives. The truth is, brothers and sisters, that you and I are all attracted to the crowd, right? In some way, somehow, we are attracted to the crowd. We are drawn to the majority, right? People of all ages, all backgrounds, all statuses, all races are attracted to the crowd, to the majority. We find it easy to just go with the flow and believe what most people believe and do what most people do. We readily accept public opinion as truth, even though we haven't closely studied an issue, but mainly just because this is what most people believe in, and that's enough for me. You know, Jesus warned us in these verses that we need to be careful. We need to remember that the vast majority of mankind will travel the wrong path. And even though we know that teaching and we can all quote it, we still feel a great pressure to think like, act like, and believe like the majority in this world, don't we? Even though we know what Jesus taught, we still feel persuaded by the majority simply because they are the majority. Even though we know what Jesus taught, we still feel like we should believe what the crowd says and act like the crowd acts. And that if we don't believe what they believe and think the way they think or do what they do, that we've got something wrong because they're the majority and we're the minority. Brothers and sisters, there's a part of all of us that wants to join the mob. There's a part of all of us that trusts the crowd simply because it is the crowd. And today, what I want to do is something very, very simple. I have one very simple goal. I want to teach you and impress upon you one vital Bible teaching, and that is this: don't trust the crowd. Don't trust the crowd. That's definitely something that our young kids who are in school, our young children who are going through grade school, elementary school, middle school, high school, that's definitely something that they need to hear. Don't trust the crowd. Don't believe it just because the teachers say it. Don't believe it just because all the teachers say it. Don't believe it just because all of your friends believe it. Don't do it just because everyone does it. Don't trust the crowd. And that's something college kids need to hear too, right? Don't believe it just because you read it on social media. Don't believe it just because you find it on a Reddit thread or you see it on Twitter or you find it in a news article. Don't believe it just because most people believe it or most people do it. And that's something the older crowd needs to remember too. Don't believe it just because it's a news story that's shared by many of your friends on Facebook. Don't believe it just because that's what everybody you hear on the news say. Don't believe it just because it's popular opinion. Don't trust the crowd. It's a fundamental Bible teaching. And what I want you to do with me, I want you to go to the book of Acts with me. And that's where we're going to spend most of our time this morning, in the book of Acts. You know, recently in my Bible reading, I was taken to the book of Acts. And as I read through the story of how the gospel spread throughout the first century world, I was taken aback. Because for the first time, I really noticed that the book of Acts, it is about the spread of the gospel, but it's also about crowds. It's also about popular opinion. There are a lot of crowds in the book of Acts. A lot of mobs in the book of Acts. And what it really shows us, it teaches us a lot about popular opinion. It teaches us a lot about the crowd. And what you learn in the book of Acts is that the crowd, the majority, is not worthy of the respect we tend to give to it. And so let me show you a few things we learn about the crowd in the book of Acts. Let me show you a few things we learn about the crowd in the book of Acts. You know, one of the things that I think we have to appreciate, one of the reasons we feel that pressure to think like, act like, and believe what the majority believe, one of the reasons we feel that pressure is because we make an assumption about the crowd. We assume that most people in this world are honestly seeking the truth. Don't we make that assumption? And don't we feel pressure for that sometimes? You know, we look at what the popular opinion is, and we think that became popular because most people in this world honestly searched for the truth, and they came to that conclusion, right? They were honestly trying to find what's right, what's wrong, and most people, when they were honestly searching for the truth, they came to believe that thing. And for that reason, it unsettles us when we hold a different belief than the crowd does. We wonder in our hearts. It begins to erode our convictions. We doubt ourselves because we look at the crowd and we think, look, if so many people in this world honestly sought the truth and they came to that conclusion, then what's wrong with me? And I've probably got it wrong because so many people believe this and I believe that. Don't we feel pressure like this on issues like baptism? You ever feel pressure like that when it comes to baptism? You know, I believe that baptism is God's method for me finding salvation through faith. Baptism is God's method of how I get my sins washed off my soul. That's what 1 Peter 3:21 teaches, right? Baptism now saves you. That's what I believe. But you know, the majority in the religious community do not believe that. And I feel pressure by that majority. If they don't believe that, then what do I got wrong? If they're honestly searching for the truth and they believe something far different than I do, what's wrong with me? Sometimes we feel pressure to believe what the majority believe because we assume that most people are honestly seeking the truth. But I want to show you that the book of Acts teaches us something different, something very, very different. The book of Acts teaches us that most people are not honestly seeking the truth, but that the crowd usually is seeking what is convenient or comfortable or pleasurable in this life. And I think you see this in Acts chapter 6 in the story of Stephen. Will you go there with me? I think you see this very clearly in the story of Stephen, right? The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 6 that the gospel is spreading throughout Jerusalem like wildfire, right? And Stephen, he's one of the most effective evangelists out there. He's really doing a good job spreading the word of God. Will you read with me in verse 8? The Bible tells us this, "And Stephen, full of grace and power, is performing great wonders and signs among the people. But some men from what was called the synagogue of the freedmen, including both Cyrenians and Alexandrians and some from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and argued with Stephen, but they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking." You know what verse 10 means? They were unable to cope with the wisdom and spirit with which he was. You know what that means? That means that Stephen was obviously right. And when they argued, when they debated these ideas, Stephen obviously had the upper hand. He obviously was teaching what was right, and they obviously were wrong. Stephen was obviously right. But the truth is, these Jews in this situation, they're not concerned with what's right. They're not concerned with what's true. Because what Stephen taught in this moment was uncomfortable and inconvenient for them. For the Jews, if they accepted what Stephen said as truth, that meant leaving behind what was comfortable. That meant leaving behind what was familiar to them. That meant leaving behind the religion that they had served and done for years. And the Bible teaches us that they were unwilling to do something that was that uncomfortable. Acts 6 and verse 11, "Then they secretly induced men to say, 'We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God.' And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came up to him and they dragged him away and they brought him before the council." And you and I both know how that story ends, don't we? You and I know how that story ends. They form a mob. They drive Stephen out of the city. And they stone him to death. Because, brothers and sisters, not because they believed he was teaching what was false, not because they were genuinely searching for the truth and they found him to be teaching error, that's not why they stoned Stephen. They weren't interested in the truth. And his story teaches us to not trust the crowd. You know, you see another example of this, if you'll go with me to Acts chapter 19, the story of the Ephesian mob, right? Acts chapter 19, if you'll go with me there. In Acts 19, the Bible tells us that Paul's been doing his rounds in Asia, and he arrives in the city of Ephesus. And many people in Ephesus are starting to be convinced by him. The gospel is gaining traction there, and there's this one silversmith named Demetrius, and that doesn't sit well with him. He's not happy with what's happening in Ephesus. And so the Bible tells us this in verse 24 of Acts 19. For a man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Artemis, was bringing no little business to the craftsmen. These he gathered together with the workmen of similar trades and said, "Men, you know that our prosperity depends upon this business. You see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but also in almost all of Asia, that Paul has persuaded and turned away a considerable number of people, saying that gods made with hands are no gods at all. Not only is there a danger that this trade of ours falls into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis be regarded as worthless, and that she whom all Asia and the world worship will even be dethroned from her magnificence." And when they heard this, they were filled with rage, and they began crying out, saying, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." You'll notice that this guy Demetrius, he sees what's happening, And you'll notice that he gathers his friends together. And what he doesn't do is he doesn't gather his friends together to discuss the validity and the arguments and the evidence for this new teaching. They don't gather their friends together and say, "Hey, let's see if Paul's right about this. Let's consider the evidence." No. Because they're not interested in what's true. What they cared about was what was convenient. What would be convenient for their business and for their livelihood. And so the Bible tells us they form a mob and they set the city in an uproar against Paul and his companions because they weren't interested in the truth, only what was convenient, comfortable, and lucrative. And brothers and sisters, the Bible teaches us that's often what the majority of people are looking for. The majority of people are not looking for what's true. They're looking for what is comfortable, pleasurable, or convenient. You know, Paul warned Timothy that men would seek that. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." They don't want to hear the truth, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with what? With their own desires. They will turn their ears away from the truth. They will turn aside to myths. When we find ourselves in the minority, we need to remember what the book of Acts, what the Bible teaches us about the crowd. We need to remember when we start doubting our convictions that the majority of people are not honestly searching for the truth. We need to remember to not trust the crowd. But can I say this secondly? That we also feel pressure to think like, act like, and believe what the crowd believes because we also assume this. We also assume not only is most people honestly seeking the truth, we also assume that the crowd is well informed. We assume that the majority of people really do know what's going on. We look at the majority opinion and we think, you know, because so many people believe this one thing, how could so many people possibly be wrong? How could so many people be misinformed? We commonly say that two brains are better than one, right? We say that all the time. We believe that. Well, aren't a million brains better than one? Surely I'm wrong if so many people believe this thing and I believe differently than them. We tend to believe that if I'm in the minority, I must not have thought this all the way through. I must not have all the information that everybody else has. We assume that the majority, that the crowd has been enlightened. If I don't see what they see, it must be because I'm missing something. And there are several things that we could feel that way about. Don't we feel that way about issues like, I don't know, like homosexuality? Because we're in the minority in our culture when it comes to the acceptance of that practice of homosexuality. I think the stat I found, I'm sure it varies, the stat I found, 67% of people are okay, are accepting, believe it's good and right for there to be gay marriage in our country. We're in the minority on that. And it can be easy to look at this and think, you know, everybody in my culture says, you know, we are born this way. And people who engage in that practice, they're born that way and they can't help what they're doing. And surely God wouldn't think that it's wrong for them to do this. And if I believe differently than that, I must be missing something. I must not have all the information. But the book of Acts shows us something different. The book of Acts shows us that it's often not the case that the majority of people know more than the minority. The book of Acts shows us that it's often the case that the crowd is poorly informed. The crowd really doesn't know what's going on. The crowd really doesn't have all the information. And you want good evidence of that. You look no further than that story we were just in Acts chapter 6, the story of the Ephesian mob. Right? The Bible tells us that when Demetrius got all those craftsmen together and he got them all angry about Paul and they started crying out with rage, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians," the Bible tells us that the whole city of Ephesus gets thrown into confusion and there's a great uproar. And the crowd, the majority, increases. People glom on to this mob that's forming. And everybody starts crying out, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." They go into the theater and they take some of Paul's traveling companions with them. And the Bible tells us this in verse 32, which is one of the, I don't know if it's intentional, but it's one of the funniest verses in the Bible, right? Verse 32, "So then, some were shouting one thing and some another, for the assembly was in confusion and the majority did not know for what reason they had come together." They had no idea why they were there. They had no idea why they're crying out, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." They just saw the bandwagon and they jumped on. That's an amazing thing we see in Acts 19. And it teaches us that we shouldn't trust the crowd, that most people, the majority of people, aren't necessarily better informed than we are. Something similar happens in Acts chapter 21. Acts 21, when Paul returns to Jerusalem. Paul returns to Jerusalem and the Jews see him in the temple. And what they do when they see him in a temple is they stir up another mob. And they drag Paul out and they begin laying their hands on him and beating him, intending to kill him. And I want you to appreciate this. At the basis of them beating up Paul and trying to kill him is on the basis of a false accusation. Will you read with me Acts 21, 27? "When the 7 days were almost over, the Jews from Asia, upon seeing him in the temple, began to stir up all the crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, 'Men of Israel, come to our aid. This is the man who preaches to all men everywhere against our people and the law and this place. And besides, he has even brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place. For they had previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, in the city with him, and they supposed that Paul had brought him into the temple.'" You see, everything they did against Paul in Acts chapter 21, it's on the basis of a false accusation. It's on the basis of them saying he did something that he never did. All these people just heard the accusation, jumped on the bandwagon, joined the crowd. The story teaches us that we shouldn't trust the crowd, that the crowd's not necessarily better informed than we are. We often think that the crowd knows something that we don't. But the truth is that often it is the crowd that's poorly informed. It's the crowd that has not closely studied the issue, has not carefully considered the evidence, has not thought through their actions. We need to remember this fundamental teaching of the Bible, that the majority of this world is not enlightened. The majority in this world do not know what's going on in a spiritual sense. The majority of this world, rather, will always be blind and deceived. That's what we read in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. "And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the entire world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him." Don't trust the crowd. Because the majority of people in this world have been blinded and deceived and remain blinded and deceived by Satan. And quickly, consider this final point with me. You know, another reason why we feel pressure and why we want to join the mob is because we make another assumption. We assume that the popular opinion is safe and solid. We assume the popular opinion is safe and solid. We commonly think to ourselves, if so many people believe this or think this or act like this, then certainly this popular opinion will always be popular. We're always, I don't know why we think this, but we always think that what's popular right now is going to be popular 10 years from now, right? Just look at Todd Snapp's wedding pictures and you see that's not true. I'll tell on myself real quick too. So like, before I left Houston, we have a good friend who went to the University of Houston. His name's Angel. And I went to go have lunch with him before we moved out of town. And he was going to show me around campus. And so but I got up that day and I thought, I'm going to go hang out with a bunch of college kids. I gotta dress right. You know, I don't want to look like the old guy walking around on campus. And so I went to my closet. I put on the coolest clothes that I knew to wear. And I went and I met him and I told him, I said, I'm trying to dress like a college kid. How'd I pull it off? And he said, you look like a college kid from 10 years ago. And there you go. That's about as well as I could do. We assume that what's popular now is going to be popular 10 years from now. We assume that what's okay right now, what everyone thinks is good and solid and right now, is going to be exactly the same years from now. And we feel this pressure when it comes to issues like abortion, right? Because in our culture, many people believe that this is just fine, that what's happening when an abortion happens is nothing serious, nothing of moral significance. And many people believe that opinion is safe and solid and steady. When the truth is, brothers and sisters, it very well may be that 15 years from now, those people become very much aware and enlightened. There's information out there that shows us that it is not of moral insignificance what happens in an abortion. But that's what the crowd believes. I wonder also, brothers and sisters, if this is also why many Americans approved of the vile practice of slavery when it happened in our country before the Civil War. When they could look at the atrocities, when they could look at the terrible things that were happening to human beings, and they could say, that's fine, that's normal, because this is what everybody thinks is okay. And we look back on that now and we see that what is popular opinion is not sure and steady at all. And that's what the book of Acts shows us. It shows us that the crowd can't be trusted because what the crowd believes, what's popular, is not sure and steady. In fact, the crowd can't be trusted because it's easily influenced and it swings to and fro all the time. And throughout the book of Acts, you can see popular opinion shift in a moment over and over and over again. If you go with me to Acts 14, you can see that very clearly. When Paul takes his trip to Iconium, the Bible tells us that Paul and Barnabas, they enter Iconium and they begin winning converts there. And everybody's really excited about the gospel. But then very quickly in verse 2, you read this. But the Jews who disbelieved stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them, against the brethren. And they weren't able to have the effect that they were able to have because the crowds shifted their opinion from the apostle to away from the apostle in just a second. We see this in the same chapter in Paul's trip to Lystra. After he leaves Iconium, he comes to the district of Lystra. And while they're there, they find a man who's lame. And then through the power of the Holy Spirit, they heal this lame man. And all the people in Lystra are amazed by this. They think that's great. They think that's amazing. They think that's so great that they assume that Paul and Barnabas are Zeus and Hermes. And they come to the point where they're even bringing oxen to them to sacrifice to the Greek gods that are in their presence. And they are convinced of that. They're so with Paul and Barnabas, they're ready to offer sacrifices to them. But that doesn't last for very long. Look what happens in verse 19, it says, but Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. In just a little while, the crowd goes from trying to offer sacrifices to them to trying to stone them to death. In just a moment, public opinion shifts violently, and it shows us you can't trust the mob. You shouldn't just trust it because most people believe it. See, the same thing happened in Acts 17. This is the last example we'll give. Acts chapter 17, when Paul comes into the cities of Thessalonica, and later, even when he comes into the city of Berea, we read that this happens. When he arrives, the crowds love him, but before long, as is the story in the book of Acts, before long they turn against him. Acts 17, verse 4. And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas along with a large number of the God-fearing Greeks and a number of the leading women. But the Jews, becoming jealous and taking along some wicked men from the marketplace, formed a mob, set the city in an uproar, and attacking the house of Jason, they were seeking to bring them out to the people. In just a moment, public opinion shifts, becomes something different, turns against the apostles that they once were in favor of. You know, we're often tempted to think that the safest, most solid, most secure choice is to just go with the flow and believe what the majority believes. But we see something different in the book of Acts. We see that Paul knew what he was talking about when he wrote these words in Ephesians 4 and verse 14. We are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of people, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. We know that Paul saw that firsthand. He saw that the crowd is easily influenced, highly emotional, incredibly volatile, and always tossed about by every wind and wave of doctrine. We see you can't trust the crowd. You shouldn't believe it just because that's what everyone else believes. Brothers and sisters, we need to hear Jesus when he speaks. When he says in Matthew chapter 7 that most people in this world, the vast majority of people in this world, will not travel the right path. We need to remember that we shouldn't trust the crowd. We shouldn't cave to that pressure to just go with the flow, join the mob, and do what everyone else is doing. And I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, when we learn that, when we learn in our lives, really, truly, when we believe it, to not trust the mob, when we believe that, some wonderful things happen in our lives. You know, ultimately, brothers and sisters, when we learn to stop trusting the mob, we stop feeling embarrassed about being in the minority. That's something that happens to every single young person when they're young. They feel embarrassed. We feel embarrassed. We feel embarrassed when we're in the minority. We feel like something's wrong. We feel like something's out of order. I'm in the minority. I don't believe what everyone else believes. Something must be wrong. When the truth is, when I read my Bible and I listen to what Jesus says, when he says most people will not travel the right way, I need to stop being embarrassed about being in the minority and realize and be encouraged that when I believe something different than this world, it is not a sign of destruction for me. What it might be a sign of is that I'm on the right path and I'm doing the things that I should be doing. I should stop being embarrassed when I'm in the minority. Jesus said, that's where I should be. And what happens, brothers and sisters, not only do we stop feeling embarrassed, but we begin in our lives, we begin an unbiased search for truth. You know, the truth is that the crowd is going to be right about some things. The majority of people are going to be right about some things. I think the majority of people in this world think that seatbelts are a good idea. And you know what? The majority is right about seatbelts. But we didn't come to that conclusion because most people believed that. We came to that conclusion because that's what the evidence proved. It's proven to be safe and helpful in restoring and protecting our lives. And that is what we should base our beliefs on, not based on what the minority is, not based on what the majority is, not based on how many people believe it, but based on what the Word of God actually says. You know, too often, brothers and sisters, we let this world define for us what normal is. When the truth is, as Christians, the only thing that should define normal for us is the Word of God. We begin an unbiased search for truth through the Word of God when we stop trusting the crowd. And also, brothers and sisters, when we stop trusting the crowd, we find something truly solid to hold on to. The Bible tells us that the wicked are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the deceitful scheming of Satan. They're tossed all over the place. They don't know what to believe. There's nothing solid to stand on. But when we say that we're simply going to trust in the Word of God and the leading of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we find something solid, something that still remains true 2,000 years later, something that is still right 2,000 years later, something that we never have to leave for any reason whatsoever. we find something truly solid to hold on to in the Bible when we stop trying to hold on to what the majority believe. And finally, brothers and sisters, when we stop trusting the crowd, what happens is we start shining brilliantly in this world. As Don talked about in his sermon this morning, which you should go back to and you should go back and listen to if you have a chance this week, if you haven't already watched it this morning. He talked about being a light in this world, about how we're the ones who are supposed to make a difference. If it's not us, then who will it be? And what happens, brothers and sisters, when we just trust the crowd and go with the flow, our light is extinguished. We don't make any kind of difference. But when we truly decide that we're going to hold on to the Word of God, when we're truly stop being embarrassed of being in the minority, then brothers and sisters, we'll start shining as lights in this world, and we really can lead those people in our world, those men and women who see us, to glorify God because of our good works, because of how different we truly are. Brothers and sisters, don't trust the mob. The Bible shows us very clearly that there's no reason to trust them. Don't assume that they know more than you do. Don't assume that their opinion is solid and steady. It is not. Don't assume that everybody who believes that majority opinion has sought the truth with an honest heart. Most of them have not. Don't trust the crowd. Trust in Jesus. Trust in His Word. That's what we stand on. And that's how we walk the narrow path that leads to life. You know, the Bible, I mean, you look at the world and many people have different opinions about how a person accomplishes or how a person ends up obtaining eternal life. Many different opinions about that. Millions of them, I'm sure. But brothers and sisters, we should not be swayed by what the majority of people in this world believe. We should be swayed. We should believe. We should trust in what the Word of God says about how a person removes the sins from their souls and becomes a child of God. And the answer to that is found within the Word of God, which teaches us that if we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if we're willing to repent of the sins we've committed that caused Him to go to the cross, and confess our belief in Him before men, then we can be baptized in water. And that baptism will wash our sins away and we'll rise to walk in newness of life with a hope of eternal salvation. That's what the Bible teaches. That's not what the majority believe, but that's what the Bible teaches. So this morning, if you've not been saved, don't trust the majority. Trust the Word of God. If we can help you in any way, have the sins cleansed from your soul, or help you overcome some sin in your life or anything, we invite you to come to the front. We'll help you as much as we can when we stand while we sing.